Well, we're still in Colossians chapter 3, more nuts and bolts about living in the Spirit in Colossians chapter 3. We're going to read Colossians 3 beginning in verse 18 for a text tonight, and we will run furiously through and see if we can make a little more progress here. And all the ladies said, wives. And all the ladies said, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. God bless you. You can be seated. If you love his word, give him praise and thanks for his word tonight that is forever settled in the heavens. We thank you, mighty God, for your word, for the good word, for the living word of God. We praise you for it. So we've been talking about living in the Spirit. That third chapter starts with this, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. It's the scripture motivating you. The apostle is motivating this church at Colossae to get their minds on spiritual things. You've got to get into this New Testament Jesus culture. You've got to get into this. Seek those things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them, but now you also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. So as we started in this third chapter, we dealt with a lot of profoundly spiritual themes. But now we're moving into the nuts and bolts, real time. How do you do this? How do you live for God? And what does it mean in real life, in relationships, in the way that I behave? God gives us a very nice rule book through these epistles, and very nice here. So here we go, verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit unto the Lord. So, ladies, we're going to get to the guys. We're going to get to the kids. But this is your moment. This is your scripture, and we're going to do due diligence on this scripture. So when we say, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, it's like when Jesus is having that hard conversation with the disciples about divorce and remarriage, and he said, fellas, you're stuck with her. You can't get rid of her. When you're married for good. It was like that one man, one woman in the garden stuff. He said, that's how it is. And he said, if you marry somebody that's divorced, you commit adultery. What does that mean? That means the judge may have pounded the gavel, but God never bought into it, and she's still married. You're still married, and you committed adultery when you married a divorcee. Now, that's what the scripture says. So when the disciples heard that, they said, well, it's better not to get married. And Jesus said, well, no, it's just some people are not cut out for it. But now to the young ladies, I would say, on the front end of this, choose wisely. That's why we make a big deal out of no recreational sex, and don't be running around and acting like a fool, and don't get all hung up in romanticism. If the kid doesn't work, if he doesn't have a job, don't marry him. If he can't produce, if he's not showing signs of being a diligent child of God, if he doesn't know how to pray and he's not a worshiper, don't marry him. Don't even hang out with him. Because if you start hanging out with him, your heart will get involved and your brain will go on vacation. And when your brain comes back, you will have been married and your brain will say, oh no. What now? Well, now you got a lifetime, however long you live or until the Lord comes, and you're stuck. So make good decisions on the front end. Choose wisely. But this scripture, wives, submit yourself to your husbands, has suffered a lot of abuse, and like all scripture, is misused quite a bit. But no, you don't help him rob banks, and you don't help him deal drugs, and you don't help him kill people. That's way out on the end of the continuum, but just to set the extreme before we begin, it illuminates the fact that there are some conditions under which you don't follow him. And there is implied here the fact that he is living for God. And then if he's not living for God, if he's an unbeliever, Paul's going to give you some instructions about it. If you can live with an unbeliever, then Paul's going to give you a license to do that. But once you say, I do, you did. And there is no divorce in the kingdom of God. All right. So where do we begin in this third chapter? Get your eyes on things above. Come into alignment. Set your minds on heavenly things. The epistles are letters written to churches. The Christian world makes a big mistake going to find salvation theology in the epistles, because you always have to read the epistles through the lens of these people already have the Holy Ghost. They've already been baptized. There are some things you can say to them that you don't say to John Q. Center on the street. And it's implied that as we're reading this, wives, submit yourself to your husband, that we are talking about godly men and men to which God has access. So this is a conditional. This is, okay. There's a hierarchy in the kingdom of God. None of what I'm going to say tonight would make women's libbers happy. This is not going to make you happy. And I believe in strong women. My mama was a strong woman. My wife is a strong woman. And I believe in strong, reliable, self-sustaining women. Everybody say amen. Amen. If a man's not there, a woman can get it done. That's right. My mom worked all night, raised 7 kids, raised a truck farm, and did it pretty much by herself and never whined and never complained. So if you come whining and complaining to me, and I seem a little bit resistant to that idea, I was conditioned that way. It's my mama's fault. We serve a great God. Don't come whining. We serve a great God. Don't come talking about how you can't, and it's so hard, and it's so pitiful. And I just, don't come like that. Because I may listen to you, but my brain's gone away. Because you need to stand up. This is your soul. This is your eternity. This is your relationship with God. This is your family. These are your children. Would somebody please stand up and do the hard work of pleasing God and getting the job done? And we live in a victim culture, and everybody's victimized, and everybody's medicated, and everybody's got an excuse, and it's all because of whatever happened before. But that doesn't wash with God. You need to get up to speed with the Word of God. He's going to judge you by His Word according to your works, not according to what happened to you in your past or what somebody did or said about you. So there's a hierarchy, and here it is, 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. The head of Christ is God. And so talking about being in alignment, when you line up with your husband, ladies, in the biblical sense, when you line up with your husband, you're lining up with God. Now, this is interesting because we're going to go on into husbands, children, and later we're going to go into servants here, which are really slaves. But I want to introduce that idea to you. Because if you're a slave, you be a good slave. Now, if you don't believe that, then you don't believe the Word of God. When Joseph was in Potiphar's house, he made that man a fortune, and he was a slave. And the blessing of God was on him, and he was perfect in all of his ways. If you find yourself in slavery, you be the best slave, because you're not serving Potiphar, you're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. and you don't want to be a slouch at whatever. If you got a job, you be the best person on that job. Don't be belly aching about that job and saying why. Well, I would do better if I was in a better job. Don't you say that. You do the very best you can. You're a child of God. You need to reflect the kingdom's values. Okay, so there's a hierarchy. And lady, when you're responding to your husband, you're responding to God. All right. And when you're outside the covering of your father or your husband, you are out in an area where you may have to have some special dispensation from God, but you better make sure you're right. Just because he's ornery and crotchety does not mean that you can step out from under his covering. It's too late. You already said, I do. And that is a fixed biblical construct. And you are there. Ephesians 5. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. This is Paul in a different book, the same song and dance. But he opens up a little further. As unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. That's from 1 Corinthians 11. Even as Christ is the head of the church and the savior of the body. Now he's telling you that your husband is like Christ to you. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. And all the ladies said, in everything. You're just not excited about this at all. In everything. Come on, this is good medicine. Let me tell you what, when you get this right, you tap into something in the kingdom of God you can't reach any other way. For this cause, we're still in Ephesians 5, we're down to verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife. They two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. You are living out your devotion to God as the federal head of all things and your life as you are devoted to your husband. You are living that out. You are demonstrating that to the world around you, to God, to your children. You're demonstrating that. But he said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So you see this kind of biblical quid pro quo going on here. There's a responsibility on the woman, but there's a responsibility on the man. But lady, if you see the man's not fulfilling his responsibility, it does not give you license to remove yourself from the hierarchical structure that God has placed into effect. You don't get to make that call. I'll stop right here and just say this. A woman with a husband that's not doing it right, you line up with him. When you line up with him, you line up with God. And when you line up with God, God begins to work on him. If you're on a job and the boss is a tyrant, don't get outside that linear or that vertical flow. Don't get outside that. You get right underneath that boss. You start doing everything exactly like you know God wants you to do it. And God will begin to work. Don't be a rebellious person. Rebellion is a spirit, and you'll never get yourself free from that once you begin to rebel in a home or on a job or anywhere else. Once that thing lays its hands on you, it will affect your spirit. So what you do, you get right in line, you begin to say yes, God, to everything God has required, and if you got a bad boss, God will start working on the bad boss. That's the only way God will start moving on your behalf, if you are subject and you are submissive. And if you got a bad husband, you get right underneath that vertical flow to God, and you begin to pray for that husband, and you begin to obey God in that relationship, and God will start working on the man. And let me tell you something, God will do a lot better job on that man than you ever would. All the nagging in the world won't do what God is able to do to him. Somebody that's had victory in that area ought to say amen. Okay, so I knew I was going to get mixed reviews in this tonight. There's a broad continuum here. On one end of the discussion, there are clearly some things that you don't follow. Some things that are overtly sinful. Some things that are overtly crazy, demonic things. Anyway, you don't follow that. So we understand there are some places where you don't follow. On the other end, there of the discussion, there's a good man that you follow anywhere, and you know that he hears from God. It's the problem is in the middle. When you have an imperfect man who's doing his best to live for God, but you disagree with him on day-to-day things. And that's where God's called you to come and get in alignment. He hasn't ever promised you that that man will be perfect, but he has commanded you to come under that hierarchical flow and stand in a place of submission so that God can move on your head and move on your life. Praise God. I'm getting all sorts of kickback. I'm feeling, I'm hearing, but what about, what about, but. You don't know my husband. Chances are I do. The solution is, if you have a husband or a boss or a father who is just so hard to live with, you obey the word of God. You always obey the word of God. You get yourself in a position of alignment and let God do the heavy lifting, something you are incapable of doing. Let God deal with it. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husband. Well, this is a good old boy club here. Peter and Paul, they're all these old men. That's why we need women as apostles. We get a little better treatment here. Likewise, wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also, without the word, be won by the conversation of their wives. You can win your husband by your submitted attitude. You can position yourself and thereby position your husband to receive from God. You are uniquely positioned to bring about revival in that relationship and in that home, but you'll never do it in a spirit of rebellion or as a nagging hag. You okay? While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And we're still in this, you know what he did there? He dropped holiness in the middle of this conversation, but it's the same context. Watch, for after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. You have this distinct tethering of holiness and submission. Do you know holiness is all about submission? Holiness is an index of how much you believe God and how much you are drawn to God. Lack of holiness tells everybody around you that you're not quite sold out to this idea. But you see how he cleverly does that. He ties holiness in, and the holy women of old, they trusted in God, they adorned themselves, and they were in subjection to their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. I was in the kitchen one day, and Lucas was in the living room over there, and he said, Grandpapa. I said, yes, Lucas. He said, you may call me your majesty. I don't know what I was doing, but I stopped for a minute. I said, okay, your majesty, I will. Sarah called Abraham Lord. Now, I don't know if we're going to get that far in this lesson tonight. Rome wasn't built in a day here. Whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Isn't that curious language? He seems to think that some women will hear this message and be amazed. You what? You want me to do what? And he mixes fear and amazement. You want me to follow him? You want me to line up with? Peter thought it might have invoked fear and amazement in some women. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and beginning in verse 3. We're going to run through chapter 7 here. We have about 10 minutes. Let the husband render to the wife due benevolence. And this is, you can't deal with one of these without it flowing over, but we'll come back and do the husband in a moment. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. Likewise, the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise, also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Paul's talking about your physical relationship, and he's telling you that you don't have control over your own body in this relationship, but rather your husband has power over you, and you have power over him. And watch what Paul says. Defraud ye not one the other. He said, don't use this as leverage. Don't use that sanctuary of that intimate relationship. Don't use that as power over. Don't use it as punishment. Don't use it as leverage. He said, do not defraud one another in that area. There's ego that comes there. He's saying when you come there, you're like Christ and the church. It's a mysterious thing, but you're going to be one flesh. And he said, when you come there, you leave everything that's antagonistic and everything that's hurtful outside the doors. You forget about everything else, and you come into that relationship completely open and vulnerable to one another. I'm not going to go into depth nor into specific language about this, but I think this is very, very clear. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent. You ask, you tell them, you inform them for a time that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again so that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. He said, don't withhold yourself one from another. Not ever. Except you say, I'm going to be fasting for 2 weeks. And you make sure they know and understand that. And then you resume that relationship, because the devil will get in there. There are about three or four things that are constantly the primary issues and relational problems in the marriage. And one of those is this subject we're talking about right here. The other is money, most predominantly. But now we're going to get into something else here just for a minute, because we're here. And we're in verse 10. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. The scripture, Old Testament, from Deuteronomy to Jesus in the Gospels, to the apostles. I don't know how our culture ever rose up and said, well, divorce is going to be okay. Because it never is. It's never okay in the Word of God. Now, we could talk about exceptions, but that's not where we're living right now. You can't live in the arena of the exceptions. He said, but and if she depart, let her remain unmarried. Why? Because Jesus explained it. If you remarry, you commit adultery. Why? Because you're still married to number one. Because the judge may have said divorced, but God did not. And so you are still bound together. So if you depart, if you divorce, you just can't remarry. Okay. You know, we're just digging this hole deeper and deeper, aren't we? But isn't it good to hear the strength of the Word of God? It may be like a brick upside your head, but it's the Word of God, so we can't set it on the side. We cannot say, well, this is too strong. Once you start backing off from the Word of God, you're on your way to being a milquetoast Baptist. The worst thing in the whole world is apostolics that have forgotten what it means to be apostolic. That's the saddest thing in the whole world. So he says, let not the husband put away the wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. Now, here's where Paul's going to give you some advice of his own, which I would listen to. The man is an apostle. He said, yet not I. And he delineates between the two. He said, if any brother has a wife that doesn't believe, that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. You may have an unbelieving spouse, but the scripture says here, Paul's telling you, don't put her away. And the woman which has a husband that doesn't believe or believeth not, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. So because he's an unbeliever, is not licensed to leave him or to leave her. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. That doesn't mean your lost husband is saved because you're saved. It means there is the possibility that he's going to come into the gospel because of your lifestyle or your conversation. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. Well, we've already established Deuteronomy in the Gospels, Paul in this very passage, that divorce and remarriage is not allowed. And so when you come across a passage that says, but in this case, the man or the woman, the brother or the sister, is not in bondage, we're back up in that first part verses 3-5 that talks about obedience, alignment, and power over your body. If your husband leaves you, he can't come back and make biblical demands on you. He can't come back and get into your bank account and you say, well, I've got to submit. He can't come back and get into your marriage bed again because he's been gone for a year and just decides he wants a little recreation. He can't do that and you don't have to say, well, I have to be submitted to him. No, that's not the way it works. Paul says you're not bound by that anymore. You're not under bondage there anymore. But he's not loosing you from your vow, from your marriage vow. Because that's an established thing, Old and New Testament. For what thou knowest, or what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband, or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? Praise God. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Boy, you read that whole chapter. She's a worker. She's out making money and building things and sowing stuff and making a farm. And I mean, this is a good gal here. Her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he has no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. All the ladies say, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Wives, submit yourself to your husbands as unto the Lord. You come into alignment. God is at the top. All power flows vertically through God's chosen construct of authority. There is no option to that. There is no exception to that. You have to get your mind wrapped around that, whether it's a boss on the job, a dad in a home, or a husband and a wife. If you want God to work on him, come into compliance. Except when Nebuchadnezzar wants you to eat the king's meat and you're Daniel, you say, nope, that's God's law. I'm still lined up with God's law. That means he's out of alignment. So you don't follow him out of alignment. You stay in alignment to the words of God. You don't quit praying. You don't eat the king's meat. You don't get involved in things that are contrary to the word of God. You never follow him there. This is easy. This is not rocket science. Praise God. Well, we can all shout about this tonight. Ladies, the next time we get together, we'll be working on husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church and gave himself for it. Praise God. Let's give God some praise and thanks for his word and bless his name. Hallelujah. Mighty God, we praise you and we worship you and we thank you and we bless your name, oh God. We thank you for the privilege of being a part of your kingdom, being a part of your church, oh God. We thank you for your word in this house. Give us the courage, oh God, to say yes to your word and to stand in a place of obedience. Praise God. God bless you. Now, we're going to have a time of fellowship and food over in the other building. Hope everybody's able to go. Remember, you want to keep track of your own children. And if you have little ones, you want to make sure that they are in a place where they're not destroying anything, which would be right by you. And so you keep track of your own kids. We don't need little ones outside the building unattended. That's just common sense 101. So you want to make sure you are parenting your own children tonight. And then after we're done, everybody helps clean up and we're all good to go. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful time of fellowship. Brother Jerry, would you pray over the food tonight?